Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women who have experienced this intimately and want to offer hope to other women. While we may interview professionals on the show, the content should not be taken as therapeutic advice and is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join one of our free online Worth groups to help with your betrayal trauma, you may find us at healingwithworth.org. Welcome to Healing with Worth. We are your hosts, Janine and Naomi, and we want to again welcome back Noelle, who has been with us the past couple of episodes, and she just has so much to share, and we have so much to gain from her insight that we just couldn't leave it at two episodes. So here we are with another episode because we just have so much to talk about and it's just so good and we could talk for days. So thank you again, Noelle, for sharing everything with us because I think it's just, you have such a beautiful understanding of this process and how it has and can shape us and change us. So thank you again for sharing all that you're sharing and continue to share with us.
Thank you so much, Naomi.
I want to start out by discussing a quote that you have in your book, and I'm going to quote it for our listeners, and then I'd like you to share what you mean by this and what might be helpful to our listeners to understand, especially when they may be in the moment of heartache. Okay. So you say, we are meant to experience joy in this life in every facet of our lives through trials, heartache, and repentance. And so for someone who's listening right now, who's in kind of in the midst of heartache, you know, they're in the midst of trauma, this can be a really hard perspective to understand because you think, joy? This is not joyful at all. What the heck? How am I supposed to have joy in all of this? This sucks. So share with us a little bit of how your perspective of joy has perhaps evolved throughout the years and what you mean by this.
Okay. Yeah. So the first thing, what would you say is the opposite of joy?
Despair.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sorrow, right? Grief.
Which is what we're kind of in the midst of. You know, when we're in trauma, when we're experiencing betrayal, we are experiencing a lot of despair and grief. Right. We are doing a lot of grieving.
And sorrow.
Over a lot of different things. Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah. So if we go back to Adam and Eve for just a brief moment, before they partook of the fruit, they were kind of in a state of, they weren't growing, they weren't progressing. They were kind of in a state where they were stationary, if you want to say.
It's hard to imagine even being in that state. What was that like for them?
Right. So when they partook of the fruit, though, then a process began to happen. And what we learn through revealed truths in the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we did not understand, or like Adam and Eve did not have experience grief or sorrow or any of those things in the Garden of Eden, but they did not experience happiness or joy either. And it was only after that they partook of the fruit that then they began to experience all these different things that come as being part of a fallen world. So you cannot have joy and happiness in this life without grief and sorrow and heartache. And also the depth of your heartache will determine the depth of your joy that you're able to feel. So the deeper your heartache right now, the deeper your sorrow, the deeper your grief, those things carved out a space in your heart for you to have that kind of depth of joy, that kind of depth of happiness, and that kind of depth of peace in your life. But it cannot happen without the grief and the sorrow and the heartache. Those things carve out space in your heart for you to receive so much more. So if you are in the thick and the worst and the hardest part, know that this process, Heavenly Father isn't doing this to punish you or because he doesn't love you or because you're not his favorite or whatever other lies that the adversary tells you. that if you're experiencing this heartache, it is because the Lord loves you and he wants to give you more joy and more happiness. And he knows, as a wise parent, this is the only way that you can have this. It's the only way that it happens. And then the beautiful thing is that heartache and that sorrow and that grief, it can work for your good. So I want to establish that first so that your listeners understand, because a lot of times Satan actually, he teaches, you know, if the gospel is all about joy, then you've been living the gospel and here you are getting a divorce. That doesn't sound very joyful. That doesn't sound like that's bringing you any happiness. Like, I don't see a plan of happiness. I see a plan of sadness where you're sad, right? Like, that's what the adversary is. And we have to understand and look at it from our Heavenly Father's perspective. And it's found in gospel doctrine. You have to weed through the culture and you have to get through the doctrine. So let's talk about, well, okay, so if those things go hand in hand, when does that happen? When do I get to start feeling the joy? When am I going to start feeling the happiness? When am I going to start feeling the peace? So in my previous two episodes, I talked a lot about the process of becoming and also forgiveness and boundaries. And those things are all steps that moved me in this direction of a refining process. So as I became more of what my Heavenly Father wanted me to be, then I wanted to be in the temple more. And so then as I went to the temple more, and there's amazing, amazing experiences that I share about the temple, especially because a lot of times when women go through the temple, it is to get married. At least with my experiences, I went and I got my endowments out in preparation to be sealed in the temple. I didn't do it separately. And I know that is shifting now, especially for our young women, which I'm very happy that shift has happened. But when I was growing up, they did not allow you really to get your endowments. Like, in fact, I got my endowments a month before I got married, and that was even kind of a rare thing. So there's a lot of association with my endowment and my sealing being all like this whole entire spiritual experience together. And so as I started going to the temple, what happened was there was an uncoupling of all of that. And I recognized, wait a minute, there's several different ordinances that I take on individually. There's covenants that I take on as an individual that are unrelated to my marriage, that are unrelated to what is happening as far as my divorce and all that sort of stuff. So first, of course, is baptism, right? That's the first covenant that we make as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So there's that. And then we have the opportunity to renew that through the sacrament. Then the next is washing and anointings. And this is also separate from marriage and the sealing. Those are blessings given to us as individuals. And then there's an endowment, which is also separate, completely separate, has nothing to do with the sealing. So, and then the last and final covenant that we can make is for sealings. So a lot of times, as I've talked with women and just in my own personal experiences, like I shared, all of that is lumped together. And so as I started to go to the temple, I found great peace in the men and women being separated. I liked that. And it emphasized to me, these are my individual covenants. I'm not covenanting with my husband. I'm covenanting with my Heavenly Father, with my Savior Jesus Christ. And so then I started to listen to those promises and those covenants. And as I did those, and I did it, of course, for the dead. But as I was reciting those words and those promises in my own head, like I started to think, well, how does this apply to me? I'm the one that's made these covenants as well. So it was such a helpful reminder to me. And then those words would come into my mind and they would give me strength and they would help remind me of what I really, really wanted. Like there's so much power and strength that comes from the law of chastity and being able to harness that. And that can be hard, especially when you've gone through divorce, especially if you have been, you know, sexually active within your marriage, right? And then suddenly you're divorced. Nope, that's not part of your life anymore. And it can be really difficult because you might have waited, right? Like I've waited, and now I can get to enjoy this part. And now I can't anymore. And that can be really, really hard. And so understanding, well, why is the law of chastity? It's not just about marriage. And so as I went to the temple and started to understand, then I had a greater desire that I wanted to keep the law of chastity because I wanted all of the blessings that came from that, and that understanding that the law of chastity protects creation, and it's also protection for me. And just because we talked about forgiveness and boundaries, Heavenly Father's commandments are his boundaries, which keep us safe and allow us to have the greatest opportunity for happiness and peace and joy in our lives. So many times, and it's Satan, right? Satan is always there to whisper in our ears, but we think of commandments as, you know, you can and you cannot do these different things. And we fail to recognize that there are boundaries given to us from a loving Heavenly Father who recognizes, if I give these boundaries, then this gives my children, who I love more than anything in the world, the greatest chance of happiness. And so just being able to attend the temple and start thinking about these things and pondering these things, and I share more in my book. But what I came to recognize is there's an actual process of refinement that happens. In the beginning, we first are covenant keepers. First, we make and keep sacred covenants, and we are covenant keepers, right? And then the next process is that then we make promises to our Heavenly Father. And then as we keep those promises, and then as we repent, And I talk about this in my book, so I hope you'll go back and read this, but repentance is actually a joyful act. So many times, repentance is seen as something that you have to do. It's shame-filled. It is guilt-ridden. And repentance is actually, it's a joyful thing. And Heavenly Father created it to be joyful for us. So maybe that's another podcast episode in itself, but it's really, so you can read more about that in my book if you want to know how is repentance joy. So when we make these covenants and we're covenant keepers, right? So then we go through a process of becoming covenant belonging individuals. This is where we're using the atonement of Jesus Christ. We're repenting, we've made promises, and then we are patiently enduring and trusting in the Lord's timing and wholly, relying wholly on the Lord. And so then we transition into this process of covenant belonging. And Elder Gong talks about this. He actually has a talk. It's called Covenant Belonging. And it is phenomenal because I kept reading the word covenant keeper. And I understood what a covenant keeper was, right? That's someone who makes and keeps sacred covenants. But what did it mean to covenant belonging? What does that mean, right? So I started to study this, and this, it just blew my mind when I finally understood it.
You talk about an increase in personal revelation mm-hmm. in your life led to you better understanding this covenant belonging and the role that it played in your life. And I definitely feel like this is emphasized all throughout your book about how important personal revelation is for your life to direct you. And so you say, as we keep our covenants and experience personal revelation through righteous living, we experience covenant belonging. And then this is where you quote Elder Gong. The age-old paradox is still true. In losing our worldly self through covenant belonging, we find and become our best eternal self, free, alive, real, and define our most important relationships. Covenant belonging is to make and keep solemn promises to God and each other through sacred ordinances that invite the power of godliness to be manifest in our lives. When we covenant all we are, we can become more than we are. Covenant belonging gives us place, narrative, capacity to become. It produces faith unto life and salvation.
Okay, so the question, the covenant belonging gives us place, narrative, and capacity to become. So what does that exactly look like? And so this was what was so exciting for me to learn. Because as I studied this and I tried to figure out, well, what does exactly that mean? Place, narrative, and capacity to become. So what that means.
Well, it's not the checklist. We know what it's not. It's not the checklist that you described in one of our earlier podcasts.
Yes. So what it means, though, is it means that as we keep our covenants and we are covenant keepers, as we utilize personal revelation, as we repent, we can experience covenant belonging. And then what covenant belonging means is that the hardest and most difficult things that we have to experience in this life that are able to work for our good and to refine and sanctify us. And it means that the trials and the experiences that we have in this life have meaning. They're not in vain, and they are turned for our good. So that's what Elder Gong means when he says, covenant belonging gives us a place, a narrative, and a capacity to become. So covenant belonging means that we can become more than we were. And then a narrative helps us understand, well, why did these things have to happen to me? Why did I have to experience this? Why did I have to go through this? It gives that understanding for that. And then it also gives us a place that what we experienced makes sense. It didn't just happen in vain to us. So we see there's a great example in the scriptures about this. So I want to walk you through it because you can see it firsthand. So you have Nephi, right, and his family. And Nephi has made covenants to follow the Lord. And in the beginning, he even struggles. Like, his dad has this vision and he's obedient, right? But then he comes to this point where he has to know for himself. So he seeks out the Lord and he receives personal revelation. And from that point on, then you see Nephi on this path and he continues to progress forward. And they go through all sorts of different trials and experiences and things that I'm sure that are not even included in the scriptures, right? But we know a few of the highlights. We know that they left their home. We know that they lived in the wilderness, that they starved. In fact, Ishmael died of starvation. Like before they ever reached the promised land, right? They had children in the wilderness without any extra help or anything like that. And they built a boat and then they were on the sea, you know, and all of these different things, right, that they went through. And even when they got to the promised land and where they might have been like, oh, we made it. Oh my goodness, I can't believe we've experienced this, right? Almost immediately, Nephi's father dies. So just pause for a moment because we don't think about this very much, right? Like, have you ever experienced a death where you have a loved one that has died, right? And then Nephi is suddenly thrust into this leadership role and the Lord's been preparing him for it, but that he has older brothers who it is usually that leadership right goes to them. And then they're fighting Nephi and they're so angry, they want to murder their brother, right? And they've already been plotting about murdering their dad, but thank goodness he just passed away and then they didn't have to do that, right? But now they have to murder their brother. So all these really, really difficult and hard things that Nephi's had to experience, if you go to the end and he walks you through it, right? Like there's so many beautiful words that Nephi says. And he walks you through that process that of how he's becoming refined and he's learning to lean on the Lord. But at the end, this is what Nephi says. He says, and this is 30 years after they've left and they've been living in the promised land. And he says, and we did live after the manner of happiness. So even though he'd had all these horrific things that had happened to him, all these things that probably caused PTSD and a lot of trauma, he didn't have a counselor to work through with all of these different things, but right? But all these horrible, horrible things that happened in his life, he still was able to say, and we did live after the manner of happiness, because he'd become a covenant belonging individual. So then suddenly the experiences in his life, they gave him place, they gave him narrative, and they gave him a capacity to become. And then as Elder Gong says, it produces faith unto life and salvation. And so that's what's so exciting about this process as we become covenant keepers, that we have the ability to become covenant belonging individuals. And then this is where it gets so exciting. We belong to our Savior Jesus Christ. And this was such a huge thing for me because after my divorce, I didn't feel like I belonged to anybody. And I mean that in the best possible way. Like you might hear, you know, I don't want to belong to anybody or things or ideas like that with, you know what the world says, but, and I certainly belong to myself, but where we belong and we have a place with our Savior Jesus Christ, like that's what happens as we become a covenant belonging individual. And then we have a place within the gospel and it doesn't matter anymore about the culture and it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing and it doesn't matter what their path looks like. And it allows you to walk your path and your journey and your experience and to have a personal relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. And also to know that this plan that Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother have created, it really is a plan of happiness. It's designed for our happiness.
I love that. There is another quote in your book that kind of relates to this as well, and it comes from a BYU address from Jeffrey R. Holland, where he talks about temples and comparing Liberty Jail to a temple experience. And as you know, Liberty Jail is like, they were poisoned, they were in caves, they didn't have blankets, they were just terrible. But Joseph Smith received some of the most profound revelations in Liberty Jail. And I just want to read this because I think this is such a profound, and it's a little bit more than what I found in the book, but I have listened to this quote and it is so powerful. But he says, Jeffrey R. Holland says, tonight's message, or I'll say in my own words, today's message is that when you have to, you can have sacred, revelatory, profoundly instructive experience with the Lord in any situation you are in. And he says, indeed, let me say that even a little bit stronger. You can have sacred, revelatory, profoundly instructive experiences with the Lord in the most miserable experiences of your life, in the worst settings, while enduring the most painful injustices, when facing the most insurmountable odds and opposition you have ever faced. That just like hits me right in the heart. Like when you think about this question of how do you have joy when there's so much grief and sorrow and pain, and this whole experience that we will still experience grief and sorrow and pain and heartache. And at the same time, we can also experience these covenant belonging feelings of peace despite the circumstances, revelation for our circumstances and to help guide us through these difficulties. And this is what our covenants allow for us to be able to receive. And I think that is so beautiful. And you said it so beautifully and so eloquently. And I think it's such a powerful point to remember. And I think sometimes, you know, women who are in the thick of it, in the trenches, you know, it's hard to see hope or anything outside of what you're currently sitting in. And so I guess I don't want to come off like this is the easiest thing you'll ever do in your life, you know, but that it is possible in these most awful experiences that you're in to still have instructive experiences and revelatory experiences. It may be a little harder to recognize and it may be hard to come by, but they can happen when we put ourselves in a place to reach up to the Lord.
It's very natural for us to ask the question, why? But it's not a very helpful question. And so I love how your book kind of describes this refining process. That's how I view it anyway, as the process of refinement and how we use our covenants and our relationship with the Savior to be able to refine us and to make meaning out of a really horrible situation, you know, one that was not on our checklist.
Right. Yeah. But imagine for a moment, I mean, the opposite. Imagine that you had to go through something like that and then it didn't have meaning. It didn't have a reason. It didn't have a purpose. So that's why I think it's so important to, like, the promise of covenant belonging is joy amidst tribulation. So, and I'll say that again, mm-hmm. The promise of covenant belonging is joy amidst tribulation.
It's going to take a minute for that to sink in. Go ahead and explain.
Right. I think that we get this idea in our head of what life is supposed to look like. And then when it doesn't look like that, then life is unfair and it's frustrating and it's hard. And Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are right there and they're saying, wait, hold on though. We knew that it was going to be difficult like this. We knew. So there's a way and there's a process for you. And that everything that happens to you is, it's not for naught. It's for a reason. And then as you allow the spirit to work in your life and you go through that refining process, then all of those things can work for your good. And they can help you to become who your Heavenly Father wants you to become. I want to talk about one of the last things that comes as a result of covenant belonging individuals. And that is the ability to be made whole again. Because when you go through divorce, you feel broken. And it really any trial, really a difficult trial, it breaks you. It breaks your heart. It breaks every part of you. And so the Lord, through the atonement of Jesus Christ, can rebuild you. But what is really important to recognize is in that rebuilding, it doesn't mean that things will go back to the way that they were. And wholeness does not mean that everything is the way that you want it to be. So I want to share a quote that I talk about with wholeness. I discovered that wholeness did not mean never feeling hurt or sorrow over my divorce. Rather, true healing and wholeness came through allowing the atonement of Jesus Christ to work in my life daily over and over again. Healing then became as a result of partaking of the precious gift of the Savior's sacrifice on a personal level each day. Healing required turning to the Lord and accepting His will instead of mine. Healing became moving forward day by day with a perfect brightness of hope and trusting the Lord would help me to progress, change, and to grow. Wholeness encompassed accepting responsibility for my part of the story and viewing it through the eyes of a loving and forgiving Savior. And I go on to talk a little bit more about what wholeness looks like then as on a regular basis. And for me, it means living a richer and deeper life, living at a level where I can experience really, really difficult and heartbreaking things and still feel joy in the midst of them. I understood this principle as I went through my divorce, but my current husband and I have had the opportunity to have this experience on even a deeper level, and where we actually had one of our children pass away recently in 2020. And that experience was unlike anything that I've ever had to experience in my life. But I saw the promise of covenant belonging in a whole new way through that experience. Because even though this was something that was beyond devastating, I still can't put it into words. Someday I will, and I hope to be able to share some of those experiences that will be helpful to other people. But it's that promise of joy amidst tribulation. So those of you that are in the middle of the middle of the hardest part, and whether that looks like divorce, whether that looks like betrayal trauma, whether that looks like separation, all of those different things that you are experiencing, the promise that comes from that and the refining is that wholeness and that ability to belong to our Savior Jesus Christ, and then through that to receive joy and peace. I never ever thought that I would ever be able to feel peace or joy in the middle of grieving the loss of a child. But I have been able to. And I will say that I never thought that I would be able to experience peace and joy in the middle of my divorce. But as I learned and understood about covenant belonging and covenant keeping, I was able to feel that joy and that peace that came from that. So wholeness, it's important to remember, it doesn't mean everything returns to how it was, but that it becomes new and through our Savior Jesus Christ and the atonement.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Very personal story too. I want to end, I think, this episode by you just sharing the silversmith story in your book.
Yeah.
As kind of a concluding remarks, if you wouldn't mind.
I don't mind at all. No. So this is one of those stories that I absolutely loved. It's kind of a modern day parable. And it's just, it's a great analogy of the process of refinement. So I'm just going to read here directly from my book. Quote, one day, a group of women gathered for their weekly Bible study. On this particular day, they read verses in Malachi. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons and daughters and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. This verse was puzzling to the group as they did not have any understanding of working with precious metals. One of the members offered to learn about the process of refining silver and informed them of her findings at their next study. She visited a silversmith and watched him work. as she watched the silversmith held a silver piece over the fire and let it heat up. The silversmith explained that you must hold the silver directly in the middle of the fire, where the flames are the hottest, to burn away all the impurities in refining silver. The woman then thought about God holding us where the flames are the hottest, to burn away our impurities. Then the woman recalled part of the verse, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire and watch the process at all times. The silversmith answered that not only did he have to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was tested in the fire. If the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The silversmith further instructed, "You must leave it long enough to serve the purpose, but not too long, as it would destroy it." The member was silent for a moment, then asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" The silversmith smiled and answered, "Oh, that's easy, when I see my image in it. When you feel the heat of the fire, remember that God has his eye on you, and he will sit as a refiner and purifier, keeping watch until he sees his image in you. God is intimately aware of your needs and your limits. He knows just when you have had enough. At the right time, he will remove you from the fire," end quote. So I would say that the Savior allowed the process of my divorce, the trial of my divorce, to be a refiner's fire to me. And that's a really personal thing. In fact, I share in my book about the Provo City Tabernacle burning and then being rebuilt into a beautiful temple, and how that story resonated with me. And I felt like I had been a very serviceable tabernacle before my divorce, and then through the process of my divorce, that the Lord brought down everything and then rebuilt me into a beautiful temple. And that's a very personal experience to me, in seeing that refining fire working on a personal level.
And I loved how you creatively created that image for the cover of your book, which is another story altogether. But I was very intrigued when I received the book to read about that, and kind of coming to understand the story behind it. It's just really has touched my heart. So we appreciate you so much, you sharing your story with us. And
thank you.
No, and it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful to have you on the podcast. And before we conclude, I just want to give you space to be able to share with our listeners something that you're going to be doing. I'm really excited about this too.
Well, I am very excited about this as well. And I've been praying. When I wrote this book, it was a very sacred experience. And we didn't talk about this much in this podcast, but I will say that before I would write, I would pray. And after I got done writing, I would pray. And I felt like Heavenly Father taught me how to write a book, because I've never written a book before. And so this book, when I got done with it, I told him it's his, and that whatever he wanted to do with the book, that I would be willing to do. And so step by step, I feel like I've been led to kind of the next thing that I need to do. And the first was sharing it with people through podcasts and different things like that. And so as I've been praying about things, and as I've been having people read it more widely and coming back, the response back was, "We want more time with you, Noelle. We want to dig in. We want to understand. We want to know some of the background behind." And as I mentioned before in my book and in the podcast, I have spent years in 12-step program, almost 12 years actually. And so I've worked for a really long time within different groups and groups of women and sponsoring and different things like that. And so the idea came to me, and I really felt like it was inspired by the Spirit, but to create a mini workshop where we get to have that kind of one-on-one experience. And it's in a small group of women, 10 to 12 women. And we go through the book and we read individually on our own. And then we have journaling questions, and then we come together and kind of discuss these things. So you are able to access if you want to do the workshop. And I have also, just because I was a single mom and my budget was tight, I've kept it at a really reasonable cost. With the workshop, you get a copy of my book and it's signed, you get a bookmark, and you get a special journal. And so all of that is in a bundle for you to be able to get. It's really the cost of the materials and to ship it to you. And because I want everyone to have that opportunity. And so then we get to do this journaling process, and through the journaling questions, you kind of get to dig a little bit deeper, because part of healing through any kind of divorce, part of any difficult trial is being able to take responsibility for your part and being able to see what is other people's parts, and then being able to take that to the Lord. And so I walk you through, my goal with the workshop is for you to develop a stronger relationship with your Savior Jesus Christ, to be able to recognize how he speaks to you. So how does he speak to you as an individual? For me, it's in words and in writing, because that's what's familiar to me. But for other people, it looks different. You know, my sister has dreams. I have a friend, and when she reads the scriptures, words jump off the page to her. So the Spirit speaks to us each in a different way that's individual. And then the last part that I want to be a result of the workshop is that you recognize the strength and power that comes from keeping our covenants and how that can apply to your life. So I'll be doing multiple sessions and offering different times and things like that. So you can check it out on my website. It's Bella Noel Design. And you can also go onto my Instagram, which is just my name, Noel McBride. And I would absolutely love to have the opportunity to help walk women through this process. And it's also healing for me too, right? Like continuing to hear. So it's not just me walking them through, it's us walking through it together. And we learn from one another. And so I'm excited to have this opportunity and to be able to share this with more people.
That's awesome. Now, do you have to be divorced in order to sign up for this workshop?
No, absolutely not. No. So if you're experiencing difficulty and trial in your life, or you're separated, or if you're just, you listened and you're like, gosh, I want to hear more, you absolutely can be a part of the workshop. So,
yeah. Well, I loved all of the insight that you shared in the book. I connected with it so much because those are a lot of the same scriptures, a lot of the same quotes from general authorities that have really helped me. And I loved how you, at the end of each chapter, had kind of your lessons learned through the experience. And I just loved that everything was cross-referenced so that, you know, a reader could go back and actually read the whole talk and not just the little segment that you included in the book, because I think there's great value in looking at a talk from a holistic perspective, you know.
Right.
But I loved all the quotes that you used in your book. So thank you for joining us. We really appreciate that. And I'm excited about that. That's great.
Yeah. So if you are listening, go out, go on Amazon, get the book, or sign up for her workshop and get the book and a journal and really work through it, because it will be incredible. You will have a completely new perspective and some new ideas to help you out. So thank you again, Noel, for everything.
It's been a pleasure being here with you.
Thank you. And we will see you all next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure to visit our website, healingwithworth.org, if you would like to enroll in an online therapist-led support group. We'll see you next time.